Hey listeners, welcome to the XYZ Experiment podcast. Our episode last week, you got to hear from Dia, and she talked to us a lot about her choir and how that's played a role in supporting women who've experienced trauma, and you'd hear more about that in the episode. But she also told us an incredible piece of work that she's doing around gender violence in the metaverse. And so this episode is focused on that story. So please have a listen. If you haven't listened to the previous episode, have a listen of that first and then come and listen to this episode. The other incredible work that you do.
This is an incredible something that I learned.
It's so interesting because I've been talking to people about this topic of the metaverse and gender violence that happens in the metaverse, and they're always like, what? That doesn't happen, or that doesn't matter. Or, you know, there's kind of, I think, misperceptions about the harm that potentially can happen.
That's true.
First, tell me, what is the metaverse?
Okay, metaverse in our everyday language and how we experience it today is basically a virtual space.
Yeah.
So if you watch Avatar, that movie, that exactly what metaverse looked like. I can't remember, but I think Steven Spielberg has one film still on Netflix that talks about what metaverse is. Basically, this is just another version of the world that we're living in. So it's a virtual space.
Ready, Steady One or something.
Ready Player One. Yes, the movie.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you have time, you can check on that movie, and then you will at least, there's no fixed one single definitions about metaverse. No, there is no, at least until today. So I think we try to, first we're trying to translate or even to create a definition, but still it's very, very fluid. We don't really have like a fixed definition of what metaverse is. But in a very short, easy term, it's a virtual space. But with all of these aspects of embodiment, where you can actually be in a space, like, you know, feel and do whatever you want to do, like, you know, like what you can do in a real world.
Yeah.
So that's basically it.
I have some friends who they spend their entire weekends in the meta space. They meet up with groups of friends to play certain games.
Yes.
They are on their computers all day, literally all day, and they don't cook anymore. They order the food in because they're too busy. They're meeting up, and that some of them don't work, and they're like consumed by this meta space.
They probably have jobs on metaverse. That could be
one of them. In the metaverse. Yeah, they do.
You can have a job. Like, you can be like a doctor in like a medical doctor in metaverse. You can be lawyer in metaverse. You can get clients, like real clients.
Yeah,
you can open up your tax consultant firm. You can have like your real estate agents running there. Because you can purchase a house, you have a partner, you can be a priest if you want to, because people will get married on metaverse.
So it's really just a digital alternate reality.
It is digital alternate reality. So that's
but
what
it's metaphors becoming some people's reality, as in they're leading that life instead of another life. It's almost like that's their real life now. It's crazy. Well, I'm saying it's crazy. It's just I find it hard to comprehend that becomes your life instead of your other life.
Yeah, because you have a control of who. I mean, you can be who you want to be. I mean, for example, like I'm not gay, but then I can be gay. Like,
correct.
So I'm not a queer, but I can be a queer. I can choose whoever. I mean, I can choose any avatars.
I'm not a doctor, but I could be a doctor.
You can be. That happens. Someone who actually claimed to be someone on metaverse, well, actually they don't. So as you can see, it's really like a space where, if I can put it, maybe uncharted, like where you can be whoever you are, but there is no governance, like nothing.
But is that a space for deception and lies and violence and not good things because of that? Or is it a place of peace and, like, what are we creating there in that? Is that dangerous or is that okay?
No, I mean, you have to see technology from two different ways. I mean, in one way, technology provides you an opportunity, ample of opportunities with metaverse, where you can even like with generated AI, you can help people to access educations or even like health informations or health facilities even. But on the other hand, I think conversations about safety, security, and how we need to build like this trusted environment where users can safely and safely use this metaverse and be there and feel secure is something that that we haven't really discussed. So you have the technology, it will be there, it will continue to develop, but then you still don't have like a rigid kind of a regulations that help people to to tackle bullying or harassment or even like sexual violence that may happen or occur in that particular space.
Just introducing the topic of violence in the metaverse, what does that look like? Because I imagine it would be maybe similar in some ways to, I guess, reality, but in other ways quite unique and pose a unique set of challenges.
So I think the recent case of actually there are quite a lot of cases that have been reported, but because there is no sets of regulations or law that can be used to solve these issues, so that cases then just remain floating and not really, we don't really touch them, and then we don't really discuss them. So from sexual perspective, so sexual violence perspective, this is one of them is actually sexual raping or sexual harassment in a very different in a different forms. From like groping or even like I think it's not I mean in different in so many different levels. So when I sit with my participants, they talk about how the haptic sensorship, for example, the glove that you use to play the game, that will give you like some sort of a sensor, so that you, it's not only that you're immersing into the game, but also it gives you some sense of embodiment. So I can feel whatever you do to me, even though that's my avatar. So that different level of violence actually occur on metaverse. So from just groping to raping.
So that's actual, even though it's happening in the metaverse, it's also still happening in the non-metaverse.
Yeah, but that's your avatar, right? I mean, it's always like there's a human. So that's the problem. All of these technologies, nothing will happen unless you actually use it or work on it. And those avatars is some, I mean, that's your avatar. Anything happened to that avatar, actually, that trauma travels with your body. Anything that happened because you're wearing all of these technological tools to help you survive, or, I mean, perhaps your friends, they're wearing the headset, they're using like a haptic sensorship glove. So anything that happened, they can actually feel it. So you can even hear someone talking on metaverse. So imagine that, the sounds, not just the physical touch, but also the sounds. It's you can feel it. So that kind of a technology development, it has their own risk, like you said. It has potential risk, except that we need to be clear about it and what we should do to protect and to help users to fight if something happened. So we don't have that. So there's a different elements that we have to discuss with engineers or tech developers in that sense, and even platforms.
And even to seek like help afterwards, because psychologically you'd be quite affected by that, and trying to, in your own head, not say, oh, well, it was a virtual world, so it's okay, like it's not okay.
Because it's virtual, people think it's okay.
Yeah.
Because it's virtual.
And for society to accept that it's not okay, like that's not all right, that it's happening like that.
We're lack of knowledge, basically. Yeah. We're lack of knowledge about the technology. We don't know anything about the consequences. You've got the money, you can buy the tool, and you can stay there for 24/7 if you want. But what happened next, I mean, if that experience happened to you, like, for example, what happened to one of the participants when suddenly she was actually groped, and then and her body was actually touched, sensitive areas. And when I asked her, what exactly do you feel? I mean, how does that happen? well, there's nothing I can do. I know I have to exit that game, if that's a game, virtual reality game. The only suggestion would be exit and leave the game.
Mm.
But that's not it, right? If you're exiting the game, if you leave, it means that I don't have a chance to deal with that situation. She said she was shaking after that, and of course it doesn't stop her from going back, but she knows that that can happen again. And the other actually also said about this young girl, said that there's no use to talk about the story because nobody believe us anyway.
That's the thing. Like, people just don't understand. And my mind's really going to, okay, I'm assuming she's an adult. Mm. What if this is a 13-year-old girl or a 15-year-old girl?
Yes, that's the latest, case. Actually, that's the latest case. I think it's from Australia, is it? Or from the UK, I can't remember. But that 15-year-old girl, of course, parents will have to be aware of this, if not this kind of technology. That's why we need to have like a good education. So we have to provide them with good sets of guidance of how they can help the kids, you know, because like games like Roblox or Fortnite, for example, these are just a very, as close as you can get an example of metaverse, where you can, you know, experimenting with everything as early as 14 or even like 9 years old, my friend's kid. So they can be whoever they want, name it.
I mean, it's interesting because I don't think Fiona and I are gamers or on the metaverse, but Luke, have you, as a Gen Z, had experience
Yeah, and Dia, I think you used the term unexplored territory when you were describing the metaverse, and I think the way that we refer it to it, like people that I'm hanging out with, is it really is a little bit like the Wild West. And it's kind of still at a position, as you said, it's in its infancy, the way that we moderate the way that we experience that those situations, because in terms of behaviors and norms and the creation of like etiquette and respect and rules, we're still very much in like a process of developing that.
That's true.
I wanted to ask you, say something like this occurs at the moment, again, it's still in its infancy, and I imagine that, I don't mean to be judgmental when I say this, but I mean, it's hard for anyone to really conceptualize, but I imagine a lot of people in like healthcare services might be unaware that this type of thing occurs and that the effect it can have on people.
Mm.
If this were to happen to someone, what type of supports do they have?
For now, we don't have anything, right? We don't have anything. Because first, if you want to provide support, first you need to have someone who is willing to listen to that story. And that happens, the same case with raping cases that happens in a real life. Like, you need to have evidence, and you need to have like someone who actually willing to listen. And we don't have that. That's the problem. So if any visual, any violence happens, violence that occurs in a physical space, you still need to provide evidence. And this is actually happening in this wild, wild west, like you said, Luke. I mean, there is no clear directions, or even there is no clear guidance on what you can do and what will happen next. I think one of the most influential person who managed to bring her story out, I can't remember her name. What's her name now? It's not on top of my head. But if you Google and then look for, I keep naming Google. So if you go to like a search engine and then look for Can I name someone like you? Because it's quite public. Yeah. So Nina Jane Patel. Nina Jane Patel is actually trying to educate parents and communities. She's now in the UK about this, because she was one of the, perhaps the first women, not the first victim, but the first woman who speaks out about what happened to her, how she experienced gang raped on Meta First. So
I've read that story.
But then she tries to report the case. I mean, even this 15-year-old girl, she reported the case, but then what's next? We don't have sets of regulations or laws that can be used to assist victims of such violence that happens in this what west. I mean, everything is still about everything is experiment, right? We're experimenting, platforms are experimenting, technological developer, they're experimenting. So at this point, people are still processing this new technology. So it's very important during that process to get everybody on board, you know, sit together. What do you need? What should we do? And we don't have that, perhaps.
Yeah, can still. I make some comment there about that? Because I imagine a lot of the commentary around that is if you report it, the people would go, well, just don't play the game. Don't go back to the game.
Exactly.
That would be the exact response don't I would expect.
Yeah.
But I know from, as I said, some of my friends, they have lost a whole community if they do that. Like this is a big part of their life. To just not play the game is losing something for them. And people wouldn't understand that. People wouldn't understand the loss.
Mm.
Yeah, and that solution about just don't play it. Like it's just...
It's a partial solution. Yeah. So I think what happened is, I think our conversations, human communications happens, or human conversations happens to respond to such instant moment. So if you have a problem with your stomach, then don't eat this. If you have problems if you're feeling stressed, then don't play the game. Or in a community where, for example, women are perceived as subordinates, then being a gamer is actually not acceptable. Don't play the game. You know the consequences. It's almost like blaming you for, you know, with
because it's of your very blaming. Like
address. Yeah. Victim blaming. In society where victim blamings happen, well, you need to be able to talk about this. So I think you cannot have a partial conversation. You need to have, because well-being is actually consists of so many different aspects. And in this context, for the gamers, well-being is about getting support from the community. Mm. It's how they survive. For example, the community of women survivors, well-being is ability to perform, ability to sing. And so if the decision is actually to just don't play the game, I think that's partial. That will stop women or whoever trying to participate in technology and telling them just don't do it.
So yeah.
Stay away from it, which I disagree.
Because the thing is I might be in Australia and then the perpetrator might be in the UK or might be in the USA or might be in India or might be in Russia.
You won't even know their name.
You don't even know.
That could be a man, that could be a woman. You have no idea who they really are. What responsibility does the maker of that game have?
So at this point, we're having discussions about platforms' responsibility, right? Mm. Because platforms and tech developers, these are the ones who's actually started the process, initiate the process, and continue to develop the technology. So at this point, of course, platforms will tell us that maybe Luke knows about it. So there's a guidance if you feel something is actually something is wrong happening to you, or if you're experiencing some sort of a distressful kind of act, then leave the game. This is how you're going to do it, right?
Okay.
But if you're wearing, at least this is what my participant told me, if you're wearing that headset and then you have to navigate yourself out of the game, well, that thing is actually happened. How can you do that?
Mm.
You basically will still
just so you
freeze.
Can't just rip off the headset.
It's tight.
Oh,
you cannot just rip that off because you're literally still in the game. You have to exit, quit.
That's not what I expected to hear at all. I expected you to hear if there's something, report it to us and we will ban that player. And but that's not.
No, I mean, that's what they need. They need to be, they need to have a safety bubble. So at least how they navigate themselves to find this safety bubble inside the game rather than exiting the game and never confronted this
perpetrator can do it again and again. They will.
This is a long conversation. I don't think one research can solve these issues. This is a long conversation because technology is this. They're still developing, but I think what we what actually missing from this whole process is actually an opportunity for each parties or stakeholders or users, tech developers, platforms, lawmakers to sit together and talk about it, because each country will have. I mean, even society will have different way of looking at it, and how they and the way different way of judging your decisions to participate in technology.
Yeah.
So how to ensure that everybody can have equal accesses.
In terms of the research you're currently doing on violence in the metaverse, is it more exploratory then?
Yeah, actually more exploratory, because I think none of us know exactly what is happening in that territory unless you talk to not everybody is the victim of violence, but they understand that something is happening in that space as they're actually experiencing metaverse on a different level. A couple of them actually, they're not all of them are gamers, but experiencing metaverse in a different ways. So like for social interactions, for example, or even attending music concert. So it's just a different things. And, you know, like even like having like a different, like partners on metaverse. So they actually have partners on metaverse. So this is interesting. For me, it's an exploratory, yes, because there is no, I think there's a very little research that has been conducted on metaverse exploring users' experience. But for me, the most interesting thing is actually to not only exploring users' experience, but also policymakers. How do they perceive about this? Do you think that we should regulate and even platforms, tech developers, and how women perceive what happened to the other women in this context, because I'm focusing on women, what happened to the other women who are actually experiencing and using the tools and experiencing this very discomforting situation. So it's yes, look, that's it's very exploratory in the nature.
So are you on the metaverse?
Not in the metaverse. So I'm using metaverse for virtual gaming. Yeah. I'm not a gamer, but I occasionally use metaverse for virtual gaming. To be able to be in metaverse, you need to have like that tools. That's why this is very interesting, because not all level of economic background can be covered, because the tool is quite expensive.
Yeah, because headsets
and the haptic gloves. Yeah. To be able to get that immersive kind of experience, you need to have all the tools. So I'm in a metaverse just for virtual gaming to observe how, and this is when I experience when you're actually being attacked by your opponent when you're doing a game, and you don't even see and you don't even know whether that is a female or male, because I'm actually taking a different avatars, so I disguise myself. So not as a woman or different genders. I'm actually a hybrid at that time, but still it's real. Like when somebody really like attacked you, that's seems like the whole body is being attacked, and then you leave the game like feeling very tired, and you have like your body feeling like aching. So that's what happened.
That psychological, physical kind of divide.
Because you're wearing like haptic gloves and you're wearing this technology.
Within the game, is that recorded at all? If there was a thing that you wanted to report something to the proprietor of that game?
Within the game, I think tech developers, they provide you with these tools that where you can basically block the other person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, block the other person.
Yeah.
And then, but of course, then you leave the game. Yeah. You can block this person.
You can block them.
But then the next day you come into the same space, someone else perhaps will do that thing. So blocking is one thing, but then what's next?
I think recording
and some games they do have some recording facilities, but not all, I believe. But then the system itself are able to identify a person who's actually doing this
they
act
can.
Of violence.
Okay.
But then the next time you come in, you can be someone
totally different.
Someone totally different. Yes, totally different avatar. You can have a different avatar next time you join the game.
So Luke, as a Gen Z and as a male, what are your thoughts on the metaverse and, you know, the conversations that should be happening for your generation around this? Because you guys are the ones who are more, maybe that's an assumption I'm making, more in this space.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I do actually find it a little bit scary because, you know, I think that there are a lot of parallels to real life when talking about things like this, whether it be at the beginning, less supports, it's a lot more victim blaming than anything. It's a little bit tricky in a situation like this because in reality, again, we're bound to one person, right? And we're also at a point where we've established, you know, rules and laws around this type of conduct. So if you do something, it's linked to you, and therefore in the future you won't be able to engage in that behavior in one way or another, because something will be taken away from you. But in a situation like this, nothing is really punishable in a sense, because it's so hard to prove things And then once you've proved them and someone potentially gets banned, they can just make another account. And if their IP, for example, gets banned, so they can't actually use the same computer or, you know, whatever, however they decide to ban you and it's more permanent, okay, you can go to the next game. There's nothing legally binding about anything that's occurred. And so it's really, really difficult because I think that what we're talking about isn't just about, like, you know, behavior and conduct in a digital space. It's just about behavior in general, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that obviously hasn't been resolved in any space. And when you start doing things like talking about cross-cultural environments that are people of all different ages and maturity levels, it's such a complicated space to navigate towards, or navigate in, I'd say.
I just wonder with how does this translate in real life? You know how there's a lot of talk around violence in video games makes violence in real life.
Yeah, I have two questions. First, why bother? Why you have to do this research too? Whether real life and metaverse are two different things.
Yeah.
I think I agree with Luke, because whatever happened on metaverse is basically just an extension of what you do in real life, except that you have more opportunity to explore and perhaps to do things that you are unable to do because of social sanctions, because of values, norms in real life that you can actually now do in, you can do that in metaverse or in virtual space. So you can basically experimenting with that as well.
Because if you think about, like, you know, games like Fortnite and all that, you're murdering, you're killing people.
Exactly. Yes.
Killing
yes.
people until you're the last standing.
Yes.
You can't do that in real life.
No.
But it's acceptable. It's within the metaverse.
Exactly. So there's some things wrong with the society, right? Because when you, I don't know, but this is just like, I'm still working on it, but this is just like perhaps my temporarily kind of argument that when you introduce something, you don't really introduce like the whole sets of, you know, like guidance or even like language to understand what is this? I mean, what is this technology about? What are some potential risks that may occur in cyberspace or virtual space that we have to anticipate? We don't even get there because even, I don't know, but would government be think about, you know, would government want to talk about it if they know that, I mean, of course, government will have regulations. I mean, across Southeast Asia, governments like actually talk about the importance of governing internet and platforms. But do you really get into that part where the risk is actually, there's a potential risk in there that you need to carefully discuss? So these participants, they ask like, can you please just make sure that we talk, can you please just make sure that you will discuss this and bring it to the table and talk about it in your everyday conversations. Talk about it and constantly bring this up so that we know there's something important that you have to do with this technology. So I think it's very important to really consider that.
Because it's only going to grow.
Yes, yes.
This is the way AI and everything's going.
By 2030, at least World Economic Forum think that by 2030, about 75% of people across the world will have, will be interacted on metaverse, will engage with others in metaverse and spend more time on metaverse, which is really amazing. Right, so you probably don't need me anymore because you can see my avatar. We can have a chat on avatar or metaverse.
But 2030 is not that far away.
Exactly. So when I read the report, like World Economic Forum, the report, this is just the one that actually held in Davos, I was shocked because it's not that far. Maybe it's far for countries like in South, like developing countries or like Southeast Asia. It's still far, but it's there. Never assume that they don't know. These young people know. They know. They know that it exists, that technology exists. Even if they don't have the tools, they know that it's actually there.
I know this is potentially lame, right?
Yeah.
But if I think about Tolkien and, you know, they created this whole alternate universe in books. And when they did that, they created language, they created rules, they created governance, they create all of that was created in the world before the world was launched.
Exactly.
And I feel like we are seeing at the moment with things like the metaverse, the time isn't taken to create all of that before it's launched. Mm-hmm. It's like we're going to put it out there and you're going to experiment and design what's going to happen and then maybe we'll react as opposed to back in the day in books, you couldn't put out a half-baked alternate universe. And so, I don't know, I just find this interesting tension. But yeah, the metaverse, it's a...
Yeah, like I said, it's a process. So you need to get everybody involved in the process, not after you launch the technology, because then you're losing so much because you don't even like get to experience the process and what does it take to develop this technology. So you need to know like, oh, so how can we work together to govern this one? So that to ensure participation, it's not to block people from using it, but to ensure that people have adequate like supports when they actually...
I feel like you need to put all the policy makers in the metaverse. And then...
We're trying.
Because if you don't experience it, they don't see how full on it can be.
Yes, exactly.
And going on from that, because we've talked a lot about behaviours and conduct and potential consequences and punishment, but even hypothetically, if you've got that like established and you're punishing people for acting in certain ways, if you haven't established... supports and a translation between supports in the metaverse and in reality, you're going to have a generation of people
who have
been harmed and there's nowhere for them to go.
Yes, I agree. So lawmakers, actually, we need to talk to lawmakers.
I'm even thinking about the health of people. They're going to have lack of vitamin D. They're going to... No, seriously.
They're not eating properly.
I've just got all this imagery going in my head about the diet... The lack of muscle, like coordination, like the sloped backs, you know, shoulders forward. All I can think about is a vision of either someone who's deathly pale and super skinny or deathly pale and super big, a very unhealthy society. Yes. That's all that's going through my head at the moment.
Yes.
And that's physically, let alone the mental load of it.
Yeah. You don't need COVID, basically, to put you away from these conversations with other humans. But no, actually, technology really creates
the
like
isolation,
a space where isolation,
the inability to interact normally within a outside setting.
And also mental health, I believe. I mean, what these young girls actually express with, they don't want to listen, and stigma actually leave her with some sort of scars inside because... I know that she wants to continue to participate and that she keeps telling us that, oh, I don't want to stop. I mean, I want to keep using my, you know, like I want to participate in this technology. But again, how you help us with this violence, you know, issues.
Mm.
I mean, you probably will end up having like a Generation Z who lives with trauma or having like mental health issues because they try to communicate that challenges, but nobody actually able to address, like you look said, to address that issues and to provide them with sets of guidance of what to do, who should go, where to go, and what sort of, for example, consequences that perpetrators may get for the act.
Just feels like a whole breakdown to me of society.
I know.
Just, you know, you're social calling your kid to come down for dinner and they're going, I can't, I've got something, I'm finishing up online, Mum.
Yes.
You know, like how often do you hear that? You know, and I've seen situations where families become concerned and so they unplug the child and the child gets rage because they can't get onto this, their friends online. You know, this rage, it's a bit scary actually.
Exactly.
So we need to keep talking about it, which is why I was so keen to have you
on our
podcast, because I don't think we are talking about
No, you've really got me thinking,
and,
to be serious.
You know, Dia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For the work that you're doing to see the spaces where trauma is happening and to amplify and bring to light their experiences, their voices, is incredible.
Thank you. This is a wonderful opportunity for me.
We can do to support you, please let us know.
Yes, I need a lot of support.
Hey guys, it's Luke here. Thanks so much for listening to the XYZ Experiment podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a like, follow, and tell your friends and family about us.